This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Orlando Fringe Festival returns this year after a pandemic hiatus. One of the works on stage is a new rock opera, Requiem. It combines the music of Mozart with tracks by Radiohead, Evanescence, and others. The work aims to begin a dialogue around the opioid epidemic, with overdoses spiking through the pandemic. For more about the piece and what inspired it, I spoke with Opera del Sol's founder and creative director, Nicole Dupre. Well, Nicole, thanks so much for joining me. It's good to speak to you again.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So the new presentation from Opera del Sol is Requiem. I wonder if you just talk a little bit about what it is and what makes this work unique.
Yeah, so we are Opera del Sol, and we are on a mission to really change people's perceptions of what opera and classical music is. We really want to use this art form to really impact the community in new and innovative ways. So our next original production, and our first since the pandemic, and so we're so excited, is called Requiem, and that is going to be premiering next week at the Orlando Fringe Festival on the 20th, and we'll have 7 different performances. And the subject matter of what Requiem is it really follows a woman's path through trauma and opioid addiction. Because since the pandemic has happened, the opioid crisis has, you know, almost doubled with their overdoses as well as their deaths. And so we just really wanted to use opera and classical music as a way to really create a conversation within the community so that we could talk about addiction, so that we could talk about the opioid crisis and really, you know, realize that it can affect all of us in one way or another.
And it works in contemporary or fairly recent pieces of music from the likes of Radiohead, Evanescence, etc. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the score, the soundtrack to it.
Right. So our musical director, Nisha Johnson, has expertly woven these traditional pop songs, like you said, from Linkin Park and Evanescence, and really then infused Mozart's Requiem, which is this very dark and somber yet powerful piece. And so we've chosen these songs that really help us create this musical storyline that follows our main character's path through starting and being prescribed opioids all the way through her tragic ending. And we really chose those particular songs because, one, they're recognizable and also very, very impactful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorites out of the soundtrack? Anything that kind of speaks to you specifically?
I would say we have a few really incredible renditions. You know, we have this awesome mashup with Iris from the Goo Goo Dolls, as well as, you know, our character that plays addiction does this really incredible Wicked Games cover, you know, to this really great guitar solo. And the way that we take these and really what you see on the stage unfolding is really going to make you take these songs and appreciate the lyrics in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mozart is part of this as well. How does that fit into this?
So yes, that's kind of the underlining theme of the whole thing is really the underlining musical note and themes that we have all throughout there. And Requiem is really a piece that, you know, usually is a funeral procession or something that really is surrounds death. And again, it's, you know, classical music can be, you know, joyful or somber, but yet still so powerful. And so she has taken different parts from the chorus to just the actual instrumentals and has blended it throughout many of the songs that continue this theme throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the other things you're doing around the show, because you're it's not just a performance kind of speaking to opioid addiction from an artistic point of view. There's also some practical things that are happening, right? So just talk a little bit, if you could, Nicole, about what you're doing in terms of partnering up with the sheriff's office and how that's going to work with this presentation.
Right. You know, when we started to really start that conversation within the community, as we started to, you know, build partnerships and start to, you know, get people to really understand this project that we were doing, we were really introduced to a lot of the things that are happening in Seminole County. You know, Sheriff Lima, the sheriff of Seminole County, has really led the charge with the way that he is approaching this crisis. I like a quote that he always says is, it's not about making bad people good. It's about about making sick people well. And so that really kind of was something that I really grabbed a hold of, because I think that as a community, we can really learn from that. I think that it's time that we start a conversation about what this is. You know, we are seeing overdoses, you know, practically tenfold. We had about 97,000 deaths in America last year due to opioid addiction. And, you know, sometimes this comes with despair, and the pandemic has really, you know, led a lot of people to depression or not being able to have their health insurance. And so they are turning to either prescriptions from other people. They are turning to street drugs, heroin, which is now being laced with fentanyl. Believe it or not, it's much easier to get these street drugs than it is to get in to see a certified doctor. And so what they're doing in Seminole County, instead of just demonizing and arresting someone and then getting them arrested and then releasing them back into the system, he really believes in rehabilitation. And so in Seminole County, they have built what they call the OPOD facility, where when people have been arrested for an opioid-related crime, they have this opportunity where they can actually go and get the help that they need. And so that was something that really drew our organization when we were building this project to, you know, the sheriff's office. And so we have been doing some public speaking engagements with them. We've been talking to the people that are running the OPOD centers, and we hope to, you know, figure out a way that we can use music to help with their healing process, not just for those that are within the facilities, but also their family. Because so many people, not just those that are being arrested and those that are addicted, it's also about the families and the loved ones that are surrounding the people that are suffering from these addictions. And so one of the things too that we're also doing at every single one of our shows, we have 7 shows of Requiem at the Orlando Fringe Festival, and we will have a mental health and addiction service provider at every single one of our shows. So we hope that if for some reason you are either triggered by some of the traumas that are very real, you know, when you see this character, you're going to either see parts of yourself or maybe somebody that you know. And so we want to make sure that after every single show that you will be able to be able to see someone and get resources from Aspire Health. I think that, you know, mental health, addiction, and those kinds of things really need to be addressed. And I think people need to know that there are resources out there and there is help out there. And we will also have 5 select dates where we will be in the community tent, which will be outside in Lock Haven Park, where we will actually have Project Opioid as a certified distributor of Narcan. Narcan is a life-saving nasal spray that can stop an overdose for 90 minutes, enough to get someone to the hospital and to get the help that they need. And so we just want people to realize, again, you know, this is something that is happening to so many people in our community. And we just want people to be prepared and to also be able to get the resources in case it happens. And then also to see a show so that you can feel something and that you can hopefully have those conversations.
What's the early buzz on this? Nicole, are you expecting to see people come to the show because they have some kind of connection with opioid addiction, like they may have a family member who's experienced it, or are you expecting that people just kind of come because they're curious and they're interested in opera? Like, what's the sort of Venn diagram of the audience members you're looking for here?
Really, what we're hoping is that there will be so many people within the community that will see this as an actual community advocacy piece. I hope that by providing these other sources or resources and, you know, having these different themes, that we can get a multitude of people, you know, maybe people who have not been to the Fringe Festival and they do care about this crisis and they do care about this community connection, and they will come. And maybe if there are people out there and being like, well, you know what, music was something that helped heal my heart, or maybe they are fans of the pop music that we've used, or maybe they're just actual opera lovers and they want to see how an organization like ours is using this classic art form to really make an impact within our community. So I'm hoping to see a variety of different people, and I really want everybody, anybody who loves music, anybody who loves their community, I would love for you to come and see how we have actually used music, how we've used our resources to create this beautiful piece that we hope will move you and that will educate you. And then that will also provide some help and solace to know that you or maybe a loved one is not alone when it comes to addiction.
I wonder, too, if I could ask you a little bit, Nicole, about your connection to the crisis. You know, when you were reaching out to me about this interview, you talked a little bit about your ex-husband, who I understand died of an overdose in 2017. Is that something that you're speaking out about in the hopes of kind of just illustrating, you know, just how widespread this problem is?
Most certainly. You know, when we started to battle his addiction almost 10 years ago, there was not a lot of resources. And the stigma and the shame of what an addict was, you know, you thought that they were just somebody that was on the street, somebody that was a junkie. And, you know, that wasn't us. But it was never a more lonely time in my life because I didn't know where to go. I'm a daughter of two Marines. You know, I do a lot within the community. And he was worried that his employer at the time knew that he was battling, you know, drug addiction, you know, and his addiction was the opioids, that he maybe would lose his job. And I just, we, you know, tried to get him clean at home quietly ourselves three different times. And finally, he suffered an overdose dose while we were together on New Year's Eve of 2011. And that was honestly the worst moment of my life. You know, I truly thought that he was going to die in my arms just for him to be able to get to the hospital in time. And he came home and then he pulled out the drugs and then did them right in front of me. And I knew that at that moment, though he didn't die that night, that I had truly lost my husband. And we tried for years after that. And unfortunately, on July 10th of 2017, my ex-husband Adam suffered a drug overdose and passed away. And so I have to say, you know, I lived with a lot of guilt, especially in 2017, 2018. What more could I have done? You know, should I have stayed? Where could I have gone? Maybe I should have spoken up. And so what for me that really started to really heal me and to start giving me the ability to even talk about this was music. You know, he passed away on July 10th of 2017. Opera Del Sol's launch party was on August 10th of 2017. So in some ways, everything about this organization and about this incredible team that we have has really led me to being able to say, hey, this is something that, you know, though I may not be the world's greatest opera singer, I love music. And I know there are other people out there that could use this and, you know, just to heal their hearts. And so our incredible music team, you know, Nisha Johnson and I started to say, hey, let's create something that really tackles this conversation, this crisis. And then we brought on other members, you know, this incredible choreographer, Sean Lowe, and then ultimately our writer, Michael Knight. And together we have created what we really think, you know, you're going to see this character on stage and you're going to know this girl and you're going to see parts of them. And there's a lot of this show that comes from things that I have gone through, but then also every member of our creative team. And so I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we really, really, truly believe that music can help heal, and we can, and it can really help to create, you know, conversation. And that's really what we hope to do, because, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like I felt, to feel that they're alone, to think that there aren't resources and there aren't ways to feel better and to overcome. And so this is really, this whole process of creating this original work of art has been so, so meaningful. And we are just really excited for the entire community to just really experience this.
And this will be the debut of this piece?
Yes, we were all set to premiere it last year, but, you know, pandemic. And then, all you know, to be honest, you know, I was already passionate about this opioid crisis. But then with the pandemic, we are seeing a nearly double rate of addiction and suicide and overdose deaths. And I just think that this, it couldn't be a more perfect time to really have this conversation and to really deliver this piece of art to the community.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to getting back on stage, you know, or to the opportunity for this work to be heard live and in person too? Because obviously Fringe last year had to sort of fold up its tent because of the pandemic, so it's back again.
Yes, I just couldn't be more excited to just know. I think that this is one of the first big festivals that Central Florida is having since we have actually opened up to the public. And I think that this couldn't be a more perfect time for everybody to get out there and just experience something, you know, live music, live dancing, and then also just to have a communal moment together, right? I think that's some of the things about that we actually miss is laughing with another person, applauding with another person. So I'm really excited for the audience to enjoy one another and to experience, you know, just a whole community emotion together.
Well, Nicole Dupre is the creative director of Opera del Sol and Central Florida Vocal Arts. We've been speaking about the upcoming performance of the Fringe show Requiem. It's the debut of this rock opera. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so very much. You have a wonderful day.
Up next, finding clues about the ancient beasts that once roamed Florida. We'll talk with two river divers who dredged up a mammoth bone from the Peace River. That's when Intersection returns.